This podcast episode is brought to you by Mickey Bay Eyelash Extensions. Contact Mickey Bay, master lash artist, today for the best in mink and synthetic eyelash extensions. You can find Mickey Bay at www.mblashes.com. Follow her on Instagram and Twitter at Mickey Bay. That's at MIKKIBEY. And also like her on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyBayEyelashExtensions.com.
To another edition of Culture Connection, but this is a special edition. This is Culture Connection UK, and we are so thrilled, honored, excited, elated. I don't have another adjective to describe, ebullient,
hey.
About this amazing, amazing, amazing interview that we were absolutely happy to capture. Ladies and gentlemen, please, please give it up for the awesome, the great, Tawia.
Hey.
What's going on?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
We are wonderful, wonderful. And we are so thankful and grateful to have you, and just appreciate your artistry and everything you've done to really augment the music industry, if you will. And so want to say thank you to you, and give a shout out to all of your fans in LA, please. Absolutely support you. We're gonna make this quick, you know. You gotta get to your sound check. with the amazing Eric Lau, and it's gonna be an amazing evening. But we want to just sit a few moments with you and talk a little bit about you and your career, and ask you a few questions about where you've been and yada yada yada.
Yep.
So let's just dig right in.
Let's do it.
You know, you started your career as a backup singer for Corinne Bailey Ray, the Gilmots, and the Virgin Players. And I'm curious, like, what lessons do you feel like you learned from those experiences that influenced you as an artist today?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, with your own background singers and band, is it surreal for you to think of yourself coming this far from South London to the Brit School, and now you're an internationally known musician?
Yeah. I'm just processing it now. You say it like that. I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, doing backing vocals is a completely different skill to, you know, singing lead and singing your own songs. But, you know, it's something I've always wanted to do. And, you know, it was an awesome job because I got to sing and get paid for it as soon as I was out of college and in college as well. So it was awesome. But, you know, deep down I've always been like, yeah, I want to do my own thing, and I want to have my own band. And I always played with Jody, who produces for me, and some other guys. I was always in a band on the side, so, you know, always developing that and always growing on the side. So but yeah, I mean, the biggest, I learned a lot from doing the Mark Ronson tour, because that was, you know, we went to a lot of places, Australia, States, all over Europe, and played on massive stages, you know. I did Glastonbury, and like, when I watch that back and see the crowd, it's like, whoa, I didn't even realize it was that massive. So, you know, I'm kind of glad that I got to have that experience and do world tours before kind of setting off and doing it for myself, because yeah, it's the best kind of training you can have in preparation for when I'm going to do it, you know?
Right. And you're a graduate of the Brit School.
Yes.
Which I did a little research. Having been, I'm a graduate of an arts academy high school myself.
Gotcha.
Shout out to Hamilton Academy.
Blup, 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 blup.
And I always feel like people who've gone to conservatory and have a soulfulness to them and still are connected to their home, their streets, there's something about that kind of musician that just makes for almost, it's like a double whammy of talent, because you've got the love and the soul and the street and common sense of home, and you've got the training and the rigor of conservatory.
Yeah.
How do you feel? Do you feel like that completes you?
I mean, I loved going to the Brit. I learned so much from going there. I couldn't have it any other way. And I guess it does, it's a big part of who I am now, you know? And there are so many awesome people that have come from the Brit School that are doing so well, which is awesome. Cause it's like, yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, go Brit. I wouldn't have it any other way, really.
That is awesome. I was, online doing some research, and just, you know, it's great to listen to your music, because it actually puts you in such a, it puts me personally in such a beautiful place and a reflective place.
Yeah.
And I was really first introduced to you, so forgive me that I didn't go all the way back to the debut album.
It's all good.
But I was originally introduced to you on the brilliant record Watch Out in 2007, which I'm sure a lot of people are fully aware of.
Yeah.
And I still can't get enough of it, and I hope that to your dying day, you will play it. You know how artists are like, I don't want to play that song anymore.
Right.
I played that for 20 years.
Yep.
I want you to play it 25 years from now. And you were on you're on the compilation by the genius DJ producer, Jules Patterson, presents Brownwoods, published too. But before that, there was your self-released EP in Judy's Bedroom.
In Jody's Bedroom. Watch Out was on In Jody's Bedroom.
Right. Yeah. It sure is. So, I'm just curious, can you tell us about your journey from the independent release to where you are now?
So In Jody's Bedroom was pretty self-explanatory.
Right.
Jody is, my musical partner, and we wrote those songs in his bedroom. And it was while I was kind of I was doing a lot of gigs. So I was doing a lot of backing vocals. I was part of certain movements and collectives, and people were like, "What about your own stuff? When are you going to put something out? When can we buy something? When can we?" So we were just like, "Hey, we got these tunes that we've been doing in your bedroom. Let's put them out." And it was literally just so that we could share. And every time we played, people would be like, "When can we buy something?" So there was a demand, and it was just like, awesome. So that was In Jody's Bedroom. Super proud of it. Super proud of that whole record. And then I did the tour, and I was on the road with Mark Ronson for like 2 years. And after that, I was like, okay, I really want to focus on myself and my artistry and writing more. And I'm basically have been locked away. I was on a label, and it didn't quite work out, but sometimes that happens. And, we just weren't on the same page. It was like, you're great. And then, but why don't you do this? I was like, well, I don't do that. I kind of do what I do. So it was, it was a bit of a battle. And we parted ways. And the next thing that I put out was Freedom Drop, because it was literally like, I've been sitting on music for so many years, and as somebody that creates, I feel like the final stage is to share it, and it's like, without doing that, it's kind of, I didn't feel like I was fulfilling my purpose. And so I was just like, I need to just get these songs off my laptop and share it, and I want to put it out for free and just let people know that I'm still here and I'm still creating and I'm coming back, and I'm excited to do shows again and the whole shebang. So I'm in a place where I'm super excited. I haven't done anything for a couple of years, and this year feels quite good. I've just put some music out. I've got Eric Lau's single on Eric Lau's album, and then there's lots of other things coming in pipeline and gigs, and so I'm good. I'm just like ready to get stuck in.
As I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So that's the kind of
You mentioned your new album.
Yeah.
Which is, for those who don't know, if you don't know, you better know. Freedom Drop.
Yeah.
Capitalized Free.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a searingly poignant song Teardrop, mm-hmm. off the album, and there's a lyric that you say, a far cry from the girl I used to be, growing up quite awkwardly. And it touched me because I can relate to that even as a man.
Yeah.
You know, we all have had moments of insecurity, awkwardness, particularly for those of us who are the creative, in the creative realm and have desire to pursue and travel the road less traveled.
Yeah.
So let's face it, I mean, being an artist is not necessarily the most celebrated.
No, it's not the easiest.
It's celebrated, but you almost think in a celebrity realm, but when you talk about artists who are really grinding and who are passionate about the work, and it's not about necessarily a Grammy or an award, that you just produce music, people don't understand that it can be a viable career. And I'm curious, in those lyrics, you know, who was the Tyweah of yesteryear, and who is she now, and how have you seen the transformation?
That's a good question. I mean, when I was younger, the whole kind of reason why I started writing was because I found conversation difficult. So it was my therapy and it was my way of kind of saying what I wanted to say. And I guess I was quite awkward in that sense. I kind of hated confrontation, any argument, anything. I'd just be like, oh, I'll just write a song about it. And I get it out that way. I'm pretty good at conversation now. I'm a lot better now. But, and just, you know, like, when you're younger, it's like, I don't know, I've learned a lot in my journey, and I guess I'm a lot more confident in myself and who I am and what I do. But I'm glad that I was awkward as fuck when I was younger, because it was the reason why I started writing. So.
I love it. It reminds you that who you are, where you are, is exactly where you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And so we're grateful that you were awkward because we get you through that. Yeah. So thank you, for embracing who you were back in the day.
Hi.
Back in 2008, you had this amazing, fascinating Time Out London article, where you described your sound as Twisted Soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you could talk about coining that phrase as a description of your artistry.
I feel like I am going to have to, because that's the only way I can really describe it. It's soul with a twist, you know, with a wonk, with a funk, however you want to say it. But, it, you know, it's not straight down the line. It's that.
Right.
So,
is that because of your diverse and eclectic background, with just music taste?
I feel so.
You're not boxed in.
Yeah, definitely, you know.
That's awesome. So I feel like your artistry is so moving, and your lyricism is very clear. One lyric says, "Where is this place I have landed? I recognize all the faces, but they do not seem to know my name," which is from Faces.
From Faces, yeah.
Can you talk about your connection to the African diaspora and your artistry and how it's had a profound effect on you?
Yeah, definitely. My parents are from Ghana, which is where I shot the video for Faces. I was born and raised in London, and it's interesting because I am a Londoner, and through and through, but you know, in London, I obviously have black skin, and people look at me, and they're like, you know, you're an African, which, you know, I'm both. My parents kind of raised, I can speak Ga, I can understand Ga, but you know, when you go to Ghana, they look at you and they're like, hey, you're a Bronny, you're a white girl, you're an English girl, you know, you're an English girl, you're not like... So it's a bit of a mad one. But, and actually Faces work so well in Ghana because, you know, you recognise all the faces, but they don't seem to know yours because you've been brought up completely differently. And my younger brother felt this even more because he went to school there. I didn't have the opportunity to go to school there, but he did, and it was kind of crazy. But in time, you know, they're like, yeah, you are one of us, you know, you're But they see you and they're like, yeah, you're from the UK, so you must be rich, and you must. And they're like, yeah, give me this. I want this. I want that. I want. So it's a bit of a mad one. But I love Ghana. The last trip for me was actually really amazing. I got to hang out with my great grandmother, and she's 99. She's almost 100, and I got to see parts of Ghana that I'd never seen before. And it's all in the video. There's a place, Circuit City, where they take electrical appliances and they have to burn them and get the copper to sell it. And it's proper toxic fumes. And you know, you get all these kids out there. And they're like the poorest of the poor trying to like make it work. And so many of them still have so much joy in their hearts, you know. And it's that I was just like, woo, you know. That got me, because it's like, I was there and these little kids like, hey, how you doing? And so much joy and so much love. And yeah, and meanwhile, they're in this dump burning computers from wherever, inhaling toxic fumes to sell the copper. So trip for me was...
The dichotomy is just, I'm sure it was just strange.
Super strange. Like, and as an adult, because I hadn't been, I don't go every year. I've been about 4 times. So that trip for me as, like, you know, an adult and seeing that was just like, wow. But then the spirit of the people is so strong and so awesome. Like, you know, it was pretty inspiring and just makes you feel like when I came home, I was like, I've got to do more, you know? Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Just a beautiful thing to be able to go home and to have that revelation, have that moment of clarity,
Definitely. You know,
and also perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I think oftentimes in our worlds we get so wrapped up and
completely.
We complain and we're completely. It's not good enough, and you go somewhere and you realize it is good enough.
Yeah,
I have everything I need to
survive.
This
is it.
And what I have, I really should be doing something with.
That's it.
And you really have, Tawiya. You have really given the world your song, which is one of the greatest gifts anybody can give to someone. And you've obviously touched people. You've touched me. You've touched Black Kids Online. And we're really, really grateful for that. And we're going to wrap it up. But before we do, we end on a fun note.
Hey, it got really deep for a second.
That's life.
That is life.
So we end with a quick fire.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start on some quick questions.
Okay.
Don't think about it.
Just first
answer that comes to mind, and that's what we're sticking with.
Okay.
You ready?
Let's do it.
Here we go. Your favorite piece, your favorite movie?
Kill Bill.
A food you cannot live without?
Oh, pasta.
A song that gets you through hard times?
Le Fleur, Minnie Riperton.
A favorite place to retreat to?
Riverside Walk in Battersea. Always go there, yeah.
Who or what is the greatest influence on your life?
Oof. Jesus. My mother. Yeah.
What is your favorite word?
Meanwhile.
What is your proudest moment of your life?
I don't know. My proudest moment. I'm thinking too much now. Doing this interview in the toilet. It's not wearing bathrooms. Nah. It's the toilet right there. Proudest moment. Probably, okay, this is it. My first ever song that I wrote in primary school, and it was sung by the school choir. That was pretty sick.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for the great Tawiya.
Thank you so much.
We are so happy that you did this interview with us. And as always, thank you for joining us on Culture Connection UK,
yes.
Our newest edition across the pond. And as we end every segment here on Culture Connection, please remember to make a career out of humanity. Mm-hmm. Commit yourself to the noble struggle for equal rights.
Mm-hmm.
You will make a greater person of yourself, a greater nation of your country. and a finer world to live in, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And as always, peace.
Peace.